addiction. Whoa, oh, oh, I say, I feel the connection to the rising sun. Feel the connection, and when it's done, feel the connection.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the My Wave podcast. Super excited to be with you on this day before Hurricane Sam swell shows up here at Wrightsville Beach. Hurricane Sam is cruising out there in the Atlantic and going to send us a little love. It's kind of already arriving, but tomorrow, and it peaks about noon to three. And so, yeah, we are excited around here on the Southeast North Carolina coastline, Topsail Beach, Carolina Beach, Wrightsville Beach. I've already talked to the one guy who's already driving down, getting ready for tomorrow. Today, we have Ted Meehan in the studio with us, and I can't wait to hear his wave story. Before we get into it, though, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor. Our sponsor for this episode is Sully's Archery Tag. Sully's Archery Tag is a mobile event. It's played just like dodgeball, but with arrows. And they bring the fun to you. So they only need a size of a volleyball court, indoor or outdoor, 6-on-6, fast pace. Archery Tag. Check them out, sullysarcherytag.com, and book an event soon. Book an event soon. It's a lot of fun. You ever been shot by an arrow, Ted?
No, thankfully.
Well, you need to get shot with one of these. It's a lot of fun. Hey, but if you're listening to these podcasts and you're enjoying what you're hearing and you'd like to give us a little support, you can do so very easily. Go to buymeacoffee.com/mywave. buymeacoffee.com/mywave. And in that, you can buy me a $5 cup of coffee. You can buy me 50 cups of coffee for $5. And your support would be much appreciated. And I will even give you a shout out on the next episode if you support the My Wave podcast. Anyway, I am in here with Ted Meehan. We're set up upstairs in his music room. Looks like you play the drums, Ted.
Drums and guitar,
yeah. And guitar. All right. How long you been doing that?
Drums since 14 years old or so. Okay. And guitar maybe around college time.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Playing any bands?
Have played in bands. A little bit of play at church sometimes. Uh-huh. Things like that. Yeah.
Nice, yeah. Nice. You sing too?
No.
Me neither.
Not well, anyway. In the shower.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I used to be a roadie for a couple of bands in high school.
Sweet.
And was be at their practices, I'd be at all their gigs, they'd load all their stuff up. I had a 1974 Cougar, big old beast of a car. We load everything up in there and go to these shows, and I never once said, hey, can you show me how to play that? Hey, can you show me how to do that? And so never did it. I'm actually interviewing for the podcast next week a high school friend of mine who still surfs. He lives in Long Beach, California, just south of Huntington. And or is that north of Huntington? That's north of Huntington. And so yeah, he plays bass for a funk band over there. He had a gig last night. We were going to do the interview, but he was like, I have a gig. So we'll talk about more of that. But yeah, Ted, I asked you right before we started if you had any sponsors, and you said no sponsors, so you're self-sponsored, and basically you said, I identify as a hardcore intermediate. I like that. Why do you describe yourself that way?
Well, I mean, I've always surfed just for the enjoyment of it, mm-hmm. and I've never even been in a contest, right? I'm like Chandler from North Shore, you know? Yes, I'm not anti-contest. It's just, you know, right. Not the way I've gone. And so therefore never got into surfing as any kind of career or even sponsorship or anything.
Sure. You know, sure.
I'm all right. I can ride waves, but nobody's throwing merch or money my way. So, and that's all right.
That's all right. Yeah, my friend of mine back in the day, he had a sticker on the back of his and it said self-sponsored.
Nice.
I would love to find that wherever that came from. Well, Ted, we are here in New Hanover County, so Wilmington, Wrightsville Beach. Where's your go-to spot around here to surf?
Well, I'm closer to Carolina Beach, uh-huh. and actually lived on the island for about 7-8 years.
Okay.
And been in the area for almost 20 years now, so, and always a little closer to Pleasure Island.
Uh-huh.
So Hamlet, go-to spot for years, Pelican Watch, Sun Skipper,
okay,
those kind of areas. But I do love going over to Wrightsville as well. I love the clear water. Don't love the crowds.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, different spots around southeastern North Carolina.
So with Sam on the approach, the swell coming, where are you going to head?
Probably one of those three spots I just mentioned, most likely.
Find you down at CB. I've been, you know, hey, where are you going, Kyle? And I'm like, honestly, the last two swells, Henri and Larry, I went to where I always go, and it is just, it's crowded.
Yeah.
And especially with the swell arriving on Saturday, it's going to be triple.
It's going to be a zoo.
Yeah, because the other two arrived like on a Thursday, Friday, and it was just packed. So I'm entertaining maybe CB or run up to Surf City, Topsail Beach, and find a place up there.
Hey, let me know. I'll show you secret spots at CB that everybody knows about.
Oh, shh. We won't talk about it here. But Ted, I'm so glad to hear your wave story. So we're going to start. Where is this wave that you're talking about?
This wave is in San Diego.
Okay.
Not too far from downtown.
Really?
It's in Point Loma, actually.
Okay.
Which many surfers know that area.
Yeah, I've been to Point Loma, and it was there Dog Beach, and then there's the pier. Yeah, I've been right there.
Yep, cool. Wow.
So we're going to Point Loma. Did you live out there? School? What was that? Well, how did you get out there?
Long story short, Kyle, I had been landlocked for quite a few years, went to four-year college in Georgia, UGA, mm-hmm. No waves in Athens, went to Bible school in Oklahoma,
definitely
a wave-starved place until they get some wave pools out there.
Yeah, I know the best surfer in Oklahoma.
Hey, I think I know that guy.
You know that guy?
Yeah, shout out to Mr. Johnson.
That's right, Mark Johnson, the best surfer in Oklahoma.
So after 6 years of being landlocked, I was kind of mid-20s and decided to move to San Diego. I'd been out there when I was 16 and just really loved the area. Just amazing waves, culture, weather.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So moved out there by myself, didn't really know anybody, just struck out there. And
did you get a job out there or just started?
You could call it a job, Kyle. Actually, this is kind of embarrassing. I sold timeshares. not a great job. But at the time, one of the perks was I only had to work nights and also weekend days.
Uh-huh.
So that meant during the week, mostly empty waves and plenty of time to surf. So crummy job, but good for the surfing.
Yeah. Now, did you learn to surf out there or had you started somewhere else?
I started over here on the East Coast. I actually grew up in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
Another surf mecca.
Right. There's probably a wave or two along the James River.
Exactly. So, you know, trips to Virginia Beach and Outer Banks when I was a kid.
Right.
First tried it in the Outer Banks on a bright yellow single fin and couldn't do anything. So my first real wave, you know, a lot of us remember kind of our first wave.
Yes.
You're talking about our most memorable wave, which I'll get back to. But first wave was also in San Diego.
Okay.
Probably about 10 years before my main wave I'll talk about. Uh-huh. I was at La Jolla Shores, convinced my parents, and we took my best friend with me. We were out there for a couple weeks, and I just thrashed around for like 2 weeks. Didn't know the water was freezing cold in California. You know, maybe not freezing, but...
Right, colder than the East Coast.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's summer and the water's like mid-60s. I'm in this thin wetsuit top. I went and bought a shortboard for a couple $100 at Mitch's. And this was the 80s, man. This was the days where you didn't go to surf camp and somebody teach you all the ways. You know, this was... You grab a board and you paddle out and you figure it out on your own if you didn't have an older friend or relative or buddy to help you, which I didn't since I was in California at the time. But I do remember after just thrashing around for a week or so, I finally paddled into one and got up, and it was like being on top of the world,
that
first real wave. And I think I was just hooked, you know, for good. Then I think it was 15, maybe 16.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's how I grew to love San Diego.
Yeah. So got hooked, but then got landlocked again.
Yep.
Finished high school, then to college in Georgia. But those trips out to the Outer Banks are special. You were just up there. I was just up there last weekend for a little retreat. And I got to surf for about 45 minutes. Did you head with the crew down to Redanthi, Avon?
That day, I wished I could have, but I had some kind of chores to do for the group.
Okay.
And also, my other daughter was in the area, too, and I wanted to see her. And so, just for a bunch of reasons, I couldn't go down with the crew.
Uh-oh.
But I heard they had a blast, and it was supposed to be better the next day, the next morning. So, I'm holding out. I'm like, oh, the wind's going to be better. It's going to be perfect. And next morning, it was all mostly blown out.
Oh,
but we all, a bunch of us paddled out, and it was fun anyway.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Right. So you have two daughters?
I do, yeah.
Both of them surf?
They do, yeah. They got into it a little bit later in life. I never tried to push them. I didn't ever want them to be scared of the ocean, you know. So I always tried to take them out when the waves weren't too big. But yeah, they both love it. Matter of fact, a real highlight a couple months ago was taking my 19-year-old daughter, Grace, going with one of my best friends and his daughter, who's also 19, to El Salvador for a week.
Wow.
And just an amazing, amazing trip.
Really?
I could come back to maybe in a bit.
Don't
want to pass over my main wave, right? We got to talk about the wave,
yeah,
right?
This all of it ties in, you know, just to get to this wave story. You know, you have a wave history, you have a surf life, and you know, it kind of affects surfers once they get that hook. Once that gets in your salt water, gets in your blood, it's hard to get out.
Yeah, right on. That's very true.
Yeah.
So I guess back to kind of my wave. So, had, like I said, had been in San Diego 10 years before, moved out there, was living out there, surfed Ocean Beach a good bit, you know, Dog Beach, you know, the pier, whatnot, but really started going over to the reefs over in Point Loma, especially North and South Garbage. That was my spot.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Kind of handy that there are steps that the city put in, so you could just walk down the steps and paddle right on out. And if you're not familiar with the reefs at Point Loma, it's an amazing spot. So beautiful. There's like sheer cliffs overlooking the Pacific Ocean. There's amazing sunsets because, of course, it's the West Coast and the sun goes down into the ocean every night. So, you know, I ended up spending a lot of time over there riding a 9.6 Murphy.
Okay.
Typically, you know, rode my longboard over there. It's a long wave. It's a long paddle out. It's probably like a quarter mile out where it typically breaks on the reef.
Are you at Garbage now?
Yes.
Because I had an interview several ago with a guy whose best wave, I think, was at South Garbage.
Hey, apparently it's a great spot to get your best wave, apparently.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. What a coincidence. That's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, so actually there was a really... So this was in December of maybe 95, and a really big swell rolled in. Matter of fact, there was one day I just took pictures. I was like, I'm not good enough to go out in that. I was in awe at some of the local guys just killing it out there, but
really
big size. So then I think it was the next day the swell had dropped, but it was still big.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to go out. I was like, I better not ride my longboard. I need a shortboard. So I had this shortboard I'd borrowed from a buddy, and I didn't use it very much. I was like, I probably need to take this so I can duck dive and whatnot. So anyway, I'm out the back, and just this big peak walls up. I get into it, and you know, I'm an East Coast guy.
Hold on a sec.
Yeah, go
Hold
ahead.
On a sec. What are you riding now?
Typically, right now, I normally ride a 9.2 Allison that Will Allison shaped for me.
Oh, nice.
Super cool guy and great boards.
Yes.
I usually ride that. I also have a 6-foot twin fin Cane Garden with the old school twin keels.
Yeah.
And a couple other random boards, but those are kind of my main
okay.
two go-tos right now.
So in California, in December 95, you had a longboard.
Yep.
And had you experienced surfing with shortboard up to that point, or?
Yeah, I definitely had. Like I said, and 10 years previous, I had bought that 6-foot that I learned on, which learning on a shortboard is tougher, right?
Just right.
Kind of figured it out. So I could ride a shortboard, but you know, it wasn't a great shortboarder, not like a lot of the kids you see these days that are just absolutely rip on, you know, little potato chip wafer thin boards.
Right.
So, you know, I could definitely do it. It just went out there in San Diego. I was mostly on that long board, so I could get in early and just get long rides and attempt to nose ride and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. So what's the for the folks out there listening, what's it like to go from a 9.2 to a 6.0 in, let's say, in the same day? What mentally goes on, or what do you have to do?
I think, and it's interesting you ask that, because I rode my fish recently at CB during, I think it was the Henri swell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm getting a little older, you know. There's a pretty cool Facebook group called Surfers Near 50 and Up, and I qualify, and it's interesting. There's guys and ladies in that group worldwide, and there are people just ripping into their 70s and 80s. The pictures are amazing.
Check that out.
So anyway, point being, I rode my fish recently at the Henri swell, because it was breaking pretty fast and harder than usual. I figured the longboard was going to be a bad idea. And it's amazing when you transition back to a shortboard how your body just realizes, hey, you better get up quick. You better pop up quick, or you're going to get drilled.
Right.
So it's amazing how that muscle memory comes in.
Yeah.
And just, you know, when you take off late and you wonder if you're going to make it, and then your body's like, you just pop up and you're on it. So I'm still not a great shortboarder, but I enjoy trying.
Yeah, but this is helpful, because I've been talking to people who've been listening, and they've been thankful for the little tidbits of information. And you know, when you start out on a soft top or you move to a longer board and then you want to try the shorter board, you do put yourself in a more critical part of the wave for the takeoff. But then if you're going from a short board to a longboard, there's even a transition. Me personally, I always rode shortboards until maybe 6-7 years ago. I finally got a 9.2 Savage, and I've really fallen in love with longboarding. It's a total different, I think, mindset and the opportunities there. So I think learning to ride both really opens your horizon as a surfer to different conditions, different opportunities, different feels. I've enjoyed that transition from just shortboard to a longboard edition.
Yeah, for sure. Plus, living here in southeastern North Carolina in summer, I mean, if you don't make friends with a longboard, you're probably going to be either really frustrated or getting lots of really short rides. I remember first time I tried longboarding was on an Outer Banks trip. I was probably late teens with some buddies. We would go down there and camp and just get eaten up by mosquitoes. And I had brought this longboard that a coworker of mine had found in a dumpster growing up in Virginia Beach.
Wow.
So it was long and super heavy and all brown and yellow. And I remember taking it out and just, it probably had no rocker. I remember just digging the nose constantly, because you're just not used to
right
so much nose in front of you. But once you get the hang of it, you're like, wow, this is, you can just cruise on this thing. I can catch any wave I want. This
right
is cool. So that's kind of how I got into longboarding at first.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that. That's cool. So let's go back to California. You're at South Garbage. Day after a big swell where you're just sitting back, taking pictures, admiring the locals. What's the biggest wave you've ever surfed?
It's probably the one I'm about to describe, although I had some pretty big ones in El Salvador recently.
Yeah. I think Grace was telling me about that trip. There were some big opportunities there.
There were. I'll fill you in on that. Maybe I better finish my wave story, since that's kind of the point, right? So, so anyway, I had this, I think it was a 6.4 that I had borrowed from a buddy out there, and it mostly just sat in my apartment, you know, because I was riding the longboard. But this day was bigger and thought I needed it. So I remember just sitting out there and just being nervous, of course, not really, you know, being an East Coast guy, not really used to the size, but ready to challenge myself. And I remember paddling into this thing and dropping in and just screaming down the line, just going straight right. I probably didn't even turn, Kyle. It was probably just... drop in.
So when you say screaming, you don't mean you've personally, but like the speed and the push of that wave.
Yeah, exactly. And so I rode that thing, and you know, got to the end and fell off. And this is an experience that's never happened to me any other time in my life.
Uh-huh.
It was like my whole body was screaming in a way. I think it was, you know, they talk about an adrenaline rush.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I think that's what it was. Like my whole body probably just started pumping out of adrenaline. I was like, rah! Like I was just so full of that adrenaline and that. I swear it's never happened before or since.
Yeah.
So I think just the frothing experience stoke. Of catching that wave. And you know, this wave was probably head and a half, maybe close to double overhead. I mean, okay. I can't imagine the kind of rush guys, big wave surfers get at Jaws,
right.
Chopu around the world, riding something like that from the first time. That's probably why they chase them, right? To try and get that, that
get
rush, that natural high off a big wave.
So, yeah.
But that one did it for me. So that's definitely, you know, one of probably my most significant wave that comes to mind.
6'4" board, took off on a potentially, you know, double over, and you didn't do anything special. There's no, maybe no turns, no top to bottoms, but it burned in your brain. And it was probably a mix of the chemical reaction in your body and just the setting and the scene to just impress on you, this was epic.
Well, there was that rodeo flip at the end, but no, just
humble guy,
just
humble
dropped
guy.
In and rode it, just trying to survive it. Yeah, exactly.
Was it barreling or mushing or what was it doing?
You know, garbage is not typically a barreling kind of wave.
Okay.
It's not that steep. So I think it was just purely the size and the force of it and probably the speed and on just being on that short board and just the speed and the power of it, I think, were what got me so stoked.
How far do you think you went?
It was pretty long. I mean, the waves out there go pretty long.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how long, but it was just the rush of it, man.
Yeah. Just turn around, paddle back out for more?
Yeah. I think later I thought I was going to drown that day, so it was definitely a day of highs and lows. Got held under by a big one or two.
Boy. One that you wiped out or trying to duck dive through?
Yeah, I think wiped out or just, you know, getting caught inside and tumbled, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So definitely a memorable day all around, pros and cons.
Right, the highs and lows. What, you know, when we get out in the water, we are putting ourselves at risk.
True.
You know, we're pushing ourselves and it's good, but knowing your ability and respecting the ocean. I think those are two important principles that, you know, folks may be learning, listening, to keep in the back of your mind, because the wave is powerful. And there's a lot of energy behind that wave. And when it tumbles on you and tumbles you, I mean, you're at its mercy. What would you say one of those was your sketchiest wipeouts, or have you had other brutal beatdowns?
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of funny because you think of a few beat downs or hold downs, and every now and then it's not even that the wave was that big. It was just for some reason it just held you down longer. But yeah, I think out there West Coast in California, definitely on this recent trip in El Salvador, I had a couple hold downs. I was out there on a big day. It was probably, I think I looked, Surfline called it double overhead.
Oh boy.
And I was paddling out with a local guy who had served us at dinner the night before. And this kid was riding a 410.
What?
At double overhead Senzal. It was crazy.
How tall was he?
He was not a big guy, and he probably had negative body fat, but he's probably maybe a buck 20, if that.
Boy.
But he was just killing it on a 410 shortboard. But anyway, I was paddling out with him, and you can see at this spot, El Senzal, you can see... it breaks way far out, and you can see the sets coming outside. So, of course, when you see the big ones rising up, you know, hey, I got to get my butt in gear and start paddling for the outside.
Right.
And I remember I got over some, and I was right next to this guy, and then he just looks outside and goes, oh, wow. And I thought, if the local kid who grew up here and just killing it surfing is saying, oh wow, I better paddle my butt off right now or else I'm just gonna get caught inside and drilled.
No.
So but yeah, that was an amazing trip with my daughter Grace, my great friend Daniel from Atlanta, and his daughter Lauren. just such an amazing wave. El Zunzal, not trying to blow it up, it is well known. They actually had the Olympic trials about a month before we were there, and some of the best surfers from all over the world were in El Salvador on this stretch of beach. But such a long, perfect right. If you're a regular foot, even if you're goofy, of course, it's fun. But it doesn't, even though it's big, it's a great longboard wave, kind of rolls over. It's not going to just absolutely pound you. But,
okay.
But if it's big, it'll pound you.
Sure. And you experienced that.
I did, yeah. But yeah, really fun wave. You meet people all over the world. And
yeah.
The country of El Salvador, the people are just so welcoming. The food is great.
Yeah.
It's cheap. It's amazing.
You stay at a particular resort or anything?
Yeah, it was just a hotel. I think it was called Zunzal Reef, right in front of the break. You can rent a board for $10 a day. Amazing food, amazing waves. Yeah, super cool country. I was really privileged to go there and just spend time with my friend and just really awesome time with my daughter.
That's great. That's great. Have you traveled elsewhere?
Yeah, I've been a few places. Been to Hawaii, been to Costa Rica. Actually, we spent our honeymoon in Costa Rica. And for any younger folks who aren't married yet listening, I don't recommend trying to mix a surf trip with your honeymoon unless your significant other is already a super stoked surfer and would love that.
There you go. Good, wise advice.
If they're not, try and separate the two. I'll just leave it there.
All right.
We still had a great time, but yeah, trying to chase waves and went to a break called Boca Barranca, nasty water and just super far out, a little bit sketch.
Yeah.
Polluted river mouth.
Oh boy.
But yeah, so I've been to Puerto Rico and definitely look forward to more trips in the future.
Fantastic. Any on the horizon?
Not immediately. El Salvador was the big one this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, this is a good segue into our Hang Ten part of this. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. For those of you tuning in, Hang Ten is just 10 questions that we ask those we're interviewing and just gather some data. Here we go. Ready? Goofy or regular?
Regular.
All right.
Although I do skate goofy.
Do you?
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Let's see. Favorite wax?
I usually go with Sticky Bombs just because it seems like all the shops have them.
Okay.
But yeah, not too picky. I don't do airs, so I don't need that new super sticky stuff.
The Foo Wax.
Foo Wax.
That stuff's crazy. Gosh, I used Foo Wax once, ripped the skin off my stomach, and then a guy shows me a scar on his stomach, like huge. I was like, what's that? He goes, Foo Wax.
That's insane.
So he said, next time wear a top.
Yeah.
That's some crazy sticky stuff.
Good advice.
Hey, best post-session eats.
Oh man. Locally, man, if they ever open back up, Flame and Amy's Bowl is a great place to hit. If they don't open, then Flame and Amy's Burrito Barn. So any Flame and Amy's is good with me.
Yeah, that is good stuff. I didn't know they closed that because we ate there a few months ago, it seemed. When did they close?
I know the bowl has been closed recently. I think they maybe have been having staffing challenges. I don't know the details, but if anybody's listening, hopefully they open back up soon.
Yeah, definitely. If you could have 1 hour and a cup of coffee with a surfer, who would that surfer be?
Man, that's a tough one. Haven't really thought too much about it. I guess Jerry Lopez is pretty interesting to me. I mean, just with his history of, you know, everything he did at Pipe and Hawaii in the 70s and then kind of left it all to go off and move to Oregon and mostly snowboard. Although I'm sure he still takes trips. Just seems like a pretty interesting guy. And he was coming up during an interesting time in history, you know, kind of 60s, 70s, 80s. Both in the surf world and just world events of the time. So be interesting to talk to him. I know I heard once he wakes up at like 5 a.m. and does yoga for like 3 hours. So
really?
Even though he's a bit older, I bet he's super fit. So I could probably learn from him there too.
Definitely. What's your go-to website or surf app?
A mix, man. I used to love Swell Info, but it kind of got messed up a couple years ago, and now like the data is never good. So I'll use a combination of Surfline, Magic Seaweed, local weather reports for wind, and yeah, probably those three.
Yeah. Yep. That's about where I go to cruise around, compare, contrast, try and find a happy medium between them all.
Cameras, Surf Checks has some good cameras locally.
Yeah. Did you look this morning to see the beginnings of Sam?
Not yet, but I will a little later today. I'm planning on hopefully getting in the water tomorrow. Busy day at work today.
Yeah. Long line, but it was the wind was kind of on it. Hey, if you could only choose one board for the rest of your life, what board would that be?
Man, that's a tough one. It's probably a board I don't have currently, but probably guess I'd go with some kind of mid-length, maybe like a 6'8", 6'10", maybe 7 foot.
Okay.
Kind of can do it all. You know, you could still ride it if it's super small, you know, if it's like knee to thigh, but could handle the big stuff too.
There you go.
Yeah, just kind of an all-arounder. I know Rusty makes a board called the Desert Island, but I think it's more like 8 foot.
Okay.
But yeah, something right around that mid-length. Matter of fact, I'd love to pick up a mid-length some point soon. I know they're kind of gaining popularity.
They really are. They really are. I got my son a 6'4 Modern that I found at a pawn shop.
Nice.
I don't know if the guy rode it once, maybe. No dings. It was great price. Snagged it.
Sweet.
And I've really enjoyed it. It's got a quad setup, but it's got the single fin option too. So it's pretty sweet little board. Anyway, back to the Hang 10. Living in California and then living here on the East Coast, would you rather have warm water and okay waves or cold water and consistent waves?
Man, that is a bit of a tough one, Kyle. When you say cold, how cold?
Because it gets chilly around here.
Yeah, a few years ago, probably 8 years ago, I remember a session at CB. The water was 44. So, you know, hood, boots, gloves, the whole nine. Caught two waves. Broke my leash on the second one.
Probably
and
frozen.
Figured that was God telling me, hey, your session's over. You should go in now. So, like, okay.
Yeah.
So, I would say cold water and consistent waves, as long as it's not like
frigid.
Yeah, 55 or up, I could deal. If it was like 45 or less, then I might take that warm water in tiny waves.
Definitely. Wetsuits are necessity.
Yeah.
And the technology today is amazing. What's being produced, the warmth level, just mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah. So much better than what I was using in San Diego in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. I started back mid to late 80s, and oh, my goodness. Bad.
Yep. Hard to paddle in those things.
So people back then were seriously hardcore.
Yeah. You know, it was really hardcore is the guys at like Santa Cruz in the 40s or 50s or something, trunking it, and the water's like in the low 50s and they're trunking it. Those guys and gals were hardcore.
Man. Hey, must watch surf movie.
Probably been said many times, but I'll go with Endless Summer One. Big fan of Number Two, also a cool follow up, but definitely gotta check out the Endless Summer series if you haven't already.
You might be a kook if.
You might be a kook if you. Man, that's a tough one. Drop in on people.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
That is definitely...
Knowingly. I mean, man, we've all, you know, kind of made a mistake, didn't see somebody, that kind of thing. But I'm talking about deliberate. Somebody's up, coming down the line.
They've already been hooted at twice.
Yeah, and you go anyway. That is a major kook move.
Yes,
I don't care
is.
What break you're at. Yeah.
Small day, big day, doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Just don't drop in.
Don't cut people off.
So, you a coffee drinker?
Oh, yeah. Every morning.
This is the last question here in this segment. This is huge. Cream in your cup before coffee or cream in your cup after coffee?
Definitely after. Pour the coffee first. Add some half and half. I'm a no sugar guy. I'm like wean myself off putting sugar in the coffee. So yeah, just that's it. Coffee and half straight up every morning.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I'm a cream in the cup first.
Okay.
That's just me personally. So how does surfing affect your life? This isn't one of the Hang Ten. This is just back to like conversation, but how does surfing affect your life?
Yeah. I think it's been, you know, overall a huge positive for me. I mean, it helps keep me in shape. It gets me out in nature. It keeps me grounded. It's, you know, you're getting exercise and it's fun at the same time. You make new friendships, you know, in and out of the water, around surfing. And I've had some really awesome times, kind of with God out in the water. I remember one time just by myself in the Outer Banks, Frisco Pier, sitting out there, sun was going down. I just could really feel the presence of God just sitting there on my board, I think, just out there in creation. So it's done a lot for me. Surfing has. I do think sometimes it's tough to keep it in balance because you want to spend money on new boards, but you should spend it on other things. You want to go surf, but you have family or work responsibilities. So sometimes it's tough to balance the two out and not let surfing take kind of a wrong place or priority in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially because it's not like basketball where the court's always there. It doesn't matter what the weather is. Sometimes waves show up.
Right.
And it's at the most inconvenient time. All the time I go out of town, sometimes for work or other things. My younger daughter plays a lot of travel volleyball, and it's so funny how when I'm going to be out of town, you look at the forecast and the wave report. Oh, it's going to be 5 foot and glassy with light straight west winds, right? When I'm leaving,
yep.
You know, but hey, at least now I live at the beach. I don't live inland anymore. So still get plenty, even though I do miss some swells when I'm out of town.
Yeah, that's good. You mentioned it grounding you, and you shared a little bit in my mind as I was thinking about being grounded. I thought about the humility factor, realizing I'm not in control.
Yeah.
You know, you think you go out, hey, it's not a bad day. I've had some major injuries on not bad days. It's a humbling sport out there, and it does ground you, and it definitely puts you in touch with the Creator. I mean, you're sitting in a very wild element. And you're trying to harness something that has incredible power, and then to step back and to think, where did this come from?
Yeah,
how did this get here?
Yeah.
And it does bring you back. It grounds you. It puts perspective, and it puts you in touch with your Creator.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. And just remember, anytime you see a fin out there, it's always a dolphin. Okay?
Always.
It's always a dolphin.
Think positive.
Now, unless you're really sure, then you should go in.
Yeah, I saw a big hammerhead during Larry.
Ah.
He was big. You know, they have that very distinct fin.
Yeah.
And this was just outside the lineup, maybe 20 yards, 25 yards. He was cruising south. And I just said, okay, he has lunch planned down there. And it was a big fin.
Which break was this so I can not surf there?
It was, this was at Holiday Inn.
Oh, okay.
Access
yeah,
8.
North End, yeah.
Yeah, towards the north end. Yeah. Well, hey, in your growing and learning about surfing, have you ever found reference to surfing in the Bible?
Yeah, there's a few various scriptures in there about God raising up the waves, and there's also references to, of course, Jesus calm the storm,
right?
So you know, but I think overall, Kyle, is just like you mentioned, just appreciating Him as our Creator, and that the ocean is so full of life and so much wonder, and just being out there with something you can't control, and just the beauty of it. Even the recent swell you mentioned, I was out at Hamlet, and there was a huge rainbow.
Was the brightest rainbow
out there.
I've ever
it's
seen.
Even a double rainbow.
Yeah.
And that just seeing, and I've had that happen. I remember also my 40th birthday. My wife and some of our friends surprised me with a trip, and we went up to Topsail and rented a beach house. And in the same, you know, half hour, me and my buddy were out surfing. It was freezing cold. It was early March. Not great waves, but within half an hour, there was just an incredible sunset and then a huge rainbow.
Oh, wow.
And it was my birthday. I was just like, man, this is such a cool present.
Yes, it is.
Just amazing to be
yeah.
be out here. So sometimes even if your session isn't that great or the waves aren't that great or you surf like a kook that day, sometimes the environment and the beauty of it, you're like, well, that was super pretty, super cool.
You know? Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So this is the way we usually end our episode is Acts 27:44. Paul is in a shipwreck there, and I'm sure you've read that. You're using your Bible as a mic stand right now. I yep. appreciate that. And Paul, you know, says everybody that can swim to shore. The ship, you know, gets on reef. It's getting pounded. Everybody swims in. Then it says some went in on pieces of the ship. And then it makes a distinction. It says, and some on boards.
Hmm. Surfboards in the Bible?
Potential. Could I mean, it's plausible, potential. I don't know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in, listening. And Ted, thank you so much for allowing us to hear your story. We really, really appreciate it. Until next time, y'all, take care.
Thanks, PK.
Yes, sir.